Good morning. What a beautiful morning. One more thing that I'd like to add to that busy last weekend in April. There's a lot going on that weekend, but the Friday night before that weekend, on the 24th, our church is going to do something for the very first time. We're going to try it. This is going to be a fundraising dinner for our youth group that's going to be going to El Salvador in June. Our youth group is going on a mission trip. There's 15 people signed up. By the way, there's still a couple of slots that are available. But it's quite a cost, and I'd like to ask that this congregation would pour into that effort for these youth that are going on this trip. So it's going to be a spaghetti dinner. We're going to sell tickets today, all the way up to that event. The tickets are going to be $25 a piece, obviously escalated, because we're raising money for this mission trip. So a family of five, $125. Yeah, you'll get some spaghetti, but it's also going towards missions. It's going to be a special dinner. We're asking all of our different ministries to get an act together. Maybe we'll have a little talent show in here. There'll be a program, there'll be a video presentation as to what's going to be happening, and so we're going to start selling those tickets today. So if you'd like to be a part of that, or you'd like to pour into that, I think the cost for each kid is like $1,300, and of course most of that being airfare. So as a church, I'd like to get around them, and one way you can do it is by helping us at this fundraising dinner. So if that's if the Lord puts that on your heart, we're selling those tickets every Sunday beginning today. All right, we are in Ephesians chapter 3. Book of Ephesians chapter 3. If you're looking on a Bible that you found under a seat in front of you, that's page 1344, 1344. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we're so grateful to have this time. Lord, a time where we can just set aside and focus on you, get completely re-energized in our walk with you, strengthened by your word, strengthened in your presence with your people. And Father, I pray that you would just greatly encourage your people today. I pray that we would live lives above the mediocrity of what some would call the daily grind. Lord, that we would live above that. We would have lives that are used by you, Lord, day by day. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us in a wonderful way this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if you're a basketball fan, it's a great time of year for you, isn't it? The NCAA Men's Championship Basketball Tournament is well underway. March Madness, 11.7 million brackets were registered at ESPN, and everyone's looking to see how their picks are doing. By the way, don't do that right now. People have different strategies in picking who's going to win. Some look at the seed number or the record of each team. Some just flip coins, right? Others look at the impact players. Who are the impact players on each team? Who are the guys that are making a difference? Who are the leading scorers? The leading blockers? Who are the impact players on each team, and how do they stack up against one another? Well, this morning I'd like us to consider impact Christians. Who are the impact Christians? Who are those Christians that are really making a difference for Christ in the world? And what does an impact Christian look like? And there's no better example of an impact Christian than the Apostle Paul. So we want to look at our passage this morning, and I want you to notice some characteristics about Paul this morning. Look at verse 1, Ephesians chapter 3. He says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power." He continues, "To me, who am less than the least of all saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." There's a lot being said in those verses. In fact, that's kind of a complicated passage. And amazingly, do you realize that those 13 verses are all one sentence in the original Greek language? Boy, the Holy Spirit can pack a lot into one sentence, right? There's a lot in that passage, but this morning, what I want you to notice is four characteristics about Paul. Four characteristics that made him an impact Christian, a man who made a difference. And first, number one, I want you to notice that Paul was a student. Paul was a committed student. He was a student of the Word of God. He was a receiver of God's revelation. Look what he says in verse 3. "How that by revelation he, God, made known to me the mystery." Verse 5. "Which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets." Folks, Paul says here, God himself made known to me a mystery, a truth. I received revelation from God. I heard from the Lord. And he says, not just me, but the other apostles and prophets in the very early days of church history. God made known a mystery to us. And by the way, this truth, this mystery was hidden from all of the saints and the prophets in the Old Testament. It wasn't known to them. It was revealed to Paul. and the other early apostles and prophets. Now, what is this mystery that God revealed to Paul? It says in verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me. Paul was given the mystery of the church. The wonderful, wonderful truth that because of what Jesus Christ, the Jewish Messiah, did at the cross, all Jews and Gentiles can now become one in Christ Jesus, the mystery of the church. And several times over the last couple of weeks have we been studying this book. Remember, the church was a mystery in the Old Testament. It was hidden. The church age was something that was not seen by the Old Testament saints. It was revealed to Paul and to the early apostles. Remember that Paul and the early apostles and prophets of the New Testament era lived in a time before there was a New Testament. So they're receiving revelation, which would eventually become the New Testament, which we now have before us today. Paul heard from the Lord, and not just about the mystery of the church, but remember, God revealed to Paul the whole thing about justification by faith. How we live under an age of grace, no longer under the law. Paul wrote most of the books of the New Testament. Here's a guy who heard from the Lord, who understood revelation. And let me tell you, that made him an impact Christian. And I will tell you right now, listen, all impact Christians are students. All impact Christians are hearing from the Lord. They're students of God's revelation. If you want to be an impact Christian, then you need to be a student of God's word. And by that, I mean a student of the Bible. See, God is no longer giving new revelation on the same part of Scripture. If somebody ever comes up to you and says, hey, there's a new book in the Bible. It was written by me, first and second, Billy Bob. Steer clear. By the way, that would also apply to books like the Quran, the Book of Mormon, Watchtower material. Listen, the New Testament canon is closed. God's revelation has been given. Today, as Christians, our task is to study what's been given, to be a student of God's word. Christian, if you want to make a difference, and I mean, listen, if you want to make a difference, you need to be a lifelong committed student of the Scripture. Reading the Bible, studying the Bible, memorizing the Bible. Paul told young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That is for all of us as Christians. We need to be those who can rightly divide the word of truth. And that means knowing the Scripture at a top level, knowing Scripture in principles, knowing how to divide it, how does the Old Testament and the New Testament work together, all those nuances. It is a lifelong study, and all of us as Christians are called to know the book, not just preachers, not just those who go to Bible school, not just seminary students, all of us. My brother and sister in Christ, listen, Did you know that the Bible, the Word of God, is your food? It's the bread. All of us as Christians grow by the spiritual food, by the Bible, by reading it, taking it in, and having it change our lives. Charles Spurgeon, I always love the way he says things. He says, a Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. Is your Bible falling apart? Have you opened it so many times and studied and written all over it? Do you understand that God wants you to know His Word? And you say, well, I'm a brand new Christian. I'm a little bit afraid of it. Listen, you're going to learn, but start. It's a lifelong study. You never get to a point where you say, I'm an expert in the Bible. If you do, you're in big trouble. Christian, listen, it's just a matter of dedicating some time to it. Effort. Reading your Bible daily, maybe going to a weekly Bible study. You know, at church, this is what we do, Bible study. See, as you read the Word, you grow, you become healthy, and you get loaded with information that can then impact other people as you share, and you become impact. Impact Christians, students of the Word. Now, I want you to notice something else about Paul. Secondly, Paul, you can see so clearly from this passage, was a pioneer. He had a pioneering spirit. Now, listen to this definition of the word pioneer. A pioneer is one who is first in experiments or exploration to open up as new, unbroken country. And that would perfectly describe Paul. This was a man with a pioneering spirit. Very brave. Look down at verse 8. Paul writing says, to me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the whom? I should preach among the Gentiles. Paul was called by God to preach among the Gentiles. In the book of Romans, Paul refers to himself as the apostle to the Gentiles. Paul became the defender of Gentiles. Paul became the champion of Gentiles. And I want you to understand that in the early part of church history, that was breaking new ground. Because before Christ came, there was separation between Jew and Gentiles. Jews didn't like Gentiles. Jews referred to Gentiles as dogs. Many Jews thought that all Gentiles had been created by God to fuel the fires of hell. Great tension. The first Christians were Jews. They came to Christ. And then Gentiles started getting converted. And a lot of Jews were like, whoa, what do we do with that? And there were many false teachers that went out and started to say, you know what, Gentile, you can receive Christ and that's okay. But you also have to become a Jew. You have to come under the law of Moses. There was division there. There was bitterness there. Paul comes along and he says, absolutely not. All are saved by faith in Christ Jesus, Jew and Gentile alike. And so Paul would go out and he would plant churches. First, he would preach the gospel to the Jewish people. A lot of times he was rejected. So he'd go to the Gentiles, preach the gospel. All these Gentiles would get saved. Then there was the issue of how do you, in a practical way, get the Jewish and Gentile Christians to work together. Paul was a champion for the Gentiles, saying they don't have to go under any of that part of Judaism that is old. Everything is new. He says in this passage how he took that truth to everyone. That mystery of the church he preached. Now, I want you to understand something. This was very uncomfortable for Paul. This was Paul leaving his comfort zone in going after the Gentiles. Because remember, before Paul became Paul, he was Saul of Tarsus, one of the most zealous Jews that ever lived. Paul was so zealous for Judaism before he came to Christ that he persecuted Christians. God saves him radically. He becomes brand new. Before Paul came to Christ, he would have hated Gentiles. Now he comes to Christ and he's sent to the Gentiles. They become his target group. The very people that he used to despise, he was sent to minister to. And he did it bravely. And think of all the fruit that came through Paul's life. A pioneering spirit. All impact Christians have that. If you want to be an impact Christian, man, you got to be a pioneer. There's got to be a spirit about you that says, you know, wherever God calls me, I'm going. If God calls you outside your comfort zone, I'm going. Pioneers, do you have that spirit? Now, that's going to look different for many Christians. You know, for some Christians, God will call them to actually pack up, leave their country, become a missionary. Now, think about that. Think about packing up, leaving all that you know, going into another culture, learning another language. And yet many, many Christians have done that. God oftentimes calls us to go minister to a group that maybe we're a little bit afraid of. Maybe God would call you to minister to the homeless crowd or the gangs or go into hospital and minister to AIDS patients. You know, maybe there's a group of people and you're like, I'm afraid. You know what? God might be calling you right there. Something new for you. Maybe it's something completely new. Maybe God would call you. Maybe you served for years in the children's ministry. Now he's calling you to serve in the women's ministry or a different ministry. Maybe you've sat in Bible studies for years as Christian. And now God is calling you to lead a Bible study. What has God called you to do? See, the best part about, in my experience as being a Christian, I love the idea that God wants to use me. And that, oh man, you can dream. How can God use my life and make it an impact? 18 years ago, my wife and I, we were dreaming. And the Lord said, you know what? Quit your job as an engineer, pack up your belongings in a U-Haul truck, and move to El Paso, Texas. And I'm so glad we did that. Dream. What has God called you to do? You know, for some of you as Christians, it might be as simple as this, as deciding, I'm going to pioneer in my sphere of influence. With my group of friends, I'm going to stand for Christ. In my business, I'm going to stand for Christ. At my school, I'm going to stand for Christ. There are too many Christians that blend in. You're not supposed to blend in, right? You're not supposed to be
a secret agent Christian undercover.
Man, you're to live out loud. Pioneer. All impact Christians are brave. They're willing to do even what's not comfortable. Paul was. Number three, notice that Paul was a very humble servant. Look at verse 6. He's talking about that truth that he was given, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a what? A minister. Now, please understand that word. When we hear minister today, we think of the guy in charge of the church, don't we? Oh, there's the minister. In some churches, you have a big office, minister's office. Some churches have a parking space, minister's parking space. A lot of times in our mind today, we think of minister as the head honcho, the guy in charge. Please understand, it's the Greek word diakonos, where we get our English word deacon. And you know what a minister is? You know what the bare essential meaning of a minister is? Servant. A minister is a servant. There's another Greek word that's translated minister in the New Testament, and it's the Greek word huperates. And I love this word. Huperates is the right way to say it. Two Greek words, hupo, under, retes, rower. A minister is an under rower. And this is the picture, and you may have seen these in the movies, the Viking ships. You know the Viking ships, and they're on the ocean, and they're moving forward, and there's a crew on the bottom deck, right? And they've all got a hold of the oar.
Hee-ho, hee-ho.
There's your minister. The under rower. The one who's at the bottom of the rung, rowing. That's how Paul saw himself. When he says, I'm a minister, he says, I am a servant. Paul would say this to the Corinthians, we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves, your bondservants for Jesus' sake. That was Paul's whole philosophy. I am number one, a servant of Jesus Christ. And then I am a servant of all people for Jesus' sake. He saw himself as a servant. And look what he says of himself in verse 8. This is Paul speaking of himself. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints. That's how Paul saw himself. Paul said, I am the least of the less of all the saints. Now, I got to tell you, I've told you before, I think Paul is a hero. I mean, accolades could be poured out upon him. This guy was great, but in his eyes, he was the least of all the saints. And remember that his name, Paul, he told you this in our opening study, Paulos means little. And here it's like he's doing a play on his words. He's saying, don't look at me, I'm small Paul. I'm little the less. I'm nothing. And I believe that's what made Paul such an impact Christian. He didn't take the credit. It wasn't about him getting any glory. It wasn't anything about that. He did all this for the glory of God. All impact Christians are humble, are servants. Christian, no matter how God might use you. No matter where he might call you in the church, whether it be a leader in the church, whether it be a missionary, pastor, whatever he may call you to be, never, ever see yourself as Mr. Big Shot. You are a servant. Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus is our leader. And he said, "I didn't even come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." There's a Christian that God will use. A servant, a humble man or woman. Whenever I think of humility, I think of this warning that we're given in 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter says, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another." And he says, listen, "be clothed with humility. For God resists," hard word, "resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you." The Bible says, if you are a proud man, a proud woman, God actually gets on the opposite side of the ring and opposes you. But if you are humble, if you know that you're insignificant, really, I mean, you're nothing. You're just a vessel. God will exalt you and lift you up and use you. Paul was a humble servant. See yourself rightly for who you are, no matter how God might use you. Don't you ever become the person who says, "Well, God got a pretty good deal when he got me. Wow, look at my gifts, my talents." Your gifts and your talents have come to you from God. Everything, Bible says, everything good through us comes from heaven. Give him credit. There's one more characteristic about Paul that I want you to see. Paul, listen, was willing to suffer. Paul was willing to sacrifice. Look all the way up there at our first verse, verse 1. "For this reason, I, Paul," the what? "The prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles." Paul was a prisoner when he wrote this. Paul was in a prison when he wrote the book of Ephesians. And it says he was a prisoner for you Gentiles. Verse 13, he says, "Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." Paul was in prison. Paul had endured tribulations for the sake of his calling, specifically in being an apostle to the Gentiles. You see, as Paul was preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, and as he was being a defender of the Gentiles, a lot of Jews who had become Christians, they got on board with that. But there were a lot of Jews who did not become Christian, and they stuck hard to their Judaism. And eventually, Paul, in being a champion for the Gentiles, got in big trouble with the Jews in Jerusalem. In the book of Acts, there was a riot. Paul was in Jerusalem. The Gentiles, in a riot mob scene, tried to kill him. He was arrested. He was delivered over to the Romans. And it was because of his stance for the Gentiles that, long story short, he ends up in a Roman cell. from where he pens this letter and others. He went to prison, man. He suffered. He sacrificed. He suffered loss. Paul gives his resume. I'm just going to read this to you, sort of a resume on all that he endured as a Christian minister in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, this is Paul writing, "From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, the Jews, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things which come upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches." You want to be a minister? Welcome to the ministry. There was so much suffering that Paul paid. I mean, he went through incredible things, folks. He endured it. He was willing. And God used that man so greatly. My brother and sister in Christ, if you want to be an impact Christian, you must be willing to suffer loss. To sacrifice, to endure persecution. You know, God calls you to a task. You get excited about that task and you go for it. And you know what, man? You are going to experience persecution from this world, from the enemy. There's a verse that I don't think many Christians underline. I don't think you find it in the daily Promise Bible book. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." You know, that's a promise in the scripture. Amen. Do you want to claim that promise? All, without exception, who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Are you willing? Christian, are you willing? You willing to, you know, maybe lose a few business contacts because of your stance for Jesus Christ? Maybe have to lose a few friends? Are you willing? You know, it's interesting, Jesus, after he rose from the dead, you remember, he showed himself to his disciples when Thomas was there, and he said, look, what did he say? Put your fingers in my wounds. Look at my hands, look at my side. And right after showing them his scars, he says, as the Father has sent me, so now I send you. In other words, you're going to follow me, but you're going to get some scars. You're going to get some wounds. Are you willing? Does it matter to you? I want you to think back, my friend, to when you got saved. Do you know that there was somebody who preached the gospel to you? Who was that person that preached the gospel to you? Was that a man or a woman who was willing to make a difference? willing to follow God, willing to suffer, willing to pioneer. Aren't you glad that they were willing so that you could come to Christ? Do you think maybe God wants to save some people through your life? He does. He does. Impact Christians are students. Students of the Word of God. They have a pioneering spirit. They are humble servants. And they're willing to suffer. And please, let me enter. The Bible gives us all kinds of motivation. Why should we be this way? Because of what Christ did for us. Amen. What did Christ do for you? And by the way, as Christians, we've also been given the power of the Holy Spirit to do such things. Jesus said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." The Holy Spirit will come upon you, will use you as you seek him, and he will help you wherever he calls you, to whatever target group, whatever ministry. Let's close. Let's bow our heads. Father, Lord, I want to thank you for the men and women who have gone ahead. Lord, those men and women that you have used in mighty ways in church history. Lord, for how you used Paul. Lord, I want to thank you how you have used many of your people from generation to generation to generation. And how we enjoy the blessing of that. And so now, Lord, it's our generation. It's our turn. Father, I pray that we would be effective in reaching this generation. Lord, I pray for each Christian here, each one of my brothers and sisters in Christ here. Lord, I pray that you would encourage them, lift them up, excite them about being used by you right where you have them, and then seeking you as to with open heart as to where you want them. Lord, use our lives, use our families, use our marriages, use the gifts and the talents that you've given each one of us. Help us to just use every opportunity and occasion to let you be known. God, I pray. Thank you, Lord, that you have awesome things in store for each one of us. May we find them. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Let's stand together.